Father, we bow before you today. Just thank you that we can open your word once again. Thank you for speaking to us in so many different examples and illustrations and ways, and all perfect, all true, all living. And so may the living word be planted within our hearts, and may it be very fruitful, Lord. May we be moving in the direction that we should be moving in as we are influenced by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're in Psalm 79, and 79 is kind of a summary of the Book of Lamentations, really. It is a sad, sad set of circumstances, but it finishes very well with one verse. It's only 13 verses, but the first 12 are pretty brutal, pretty grim. And there is such an application, though, I think, here for you and for me, because whenever we turn away from the Lord, things don't go well. And here Israel has turned its back on the Lord, and of course judgment has come upon Israel because of that idolatry. And as you remember with the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk is complaining to the Lord because, Lord, when are you going to do something about the nation of Israel? Because they're sinning against you and you're not doing anything about it. And you know, God told him that, yes, I know. And if you knew what I'm doing about it, you wouldn't understand, paraphrased. So he goes up in the tower, you know, and he pouts and all this. And so then God says, okay, I'll share with you a little bit. I'm bringing Babylon in to destroy Israel. What? That's 100 times worse than the problem I was complaining about. They're the worst of the worst. How can you ever bring them in to correct Israel, your wife, your country, your people? And of course, we know the basis there is where much is given, much is required, right? And so with you and with me, we've been given so much. So what are we doing with it? And we see, of course, the judgment does begin with the house of the Lord. And we see here judgment's beginning in this account, really, with Israel. And so I thought we would begin by, I'm trying to find some verse, some song that I could sing in these first 12 verses, and maybe, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. But I was thinking about, as we get down to verse 9, it starts to turn a little bit, and it says, help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of your name. And so I thought about this old hymn, O God, our help in ages past. Psalm 79, the complaint is the first four verses. O God, The nations have come into your inheritance, your holy temple they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. The dead bodies of your servants they have given as food for the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those who are around us. Well, that's a pretty bleak picture, isn't it? So beginning, the nations, that's the Gentiles. So, O God, the Gentiles have come into your inheritance. Now, we have a very patriotic poet here, I believe, in the form of Asaph, assuming this is Asaph, says a psalm of Asaph. And it is, there's a lot of national heritage written into this psalm, because the psalm is for those who come against Israel. Now, you and I have application when people come against us. There's some application when they come against our land as well. And we pray for our country. But I think most of this application would be for us personally. As just the idea of separating from God, what happens? Separating from God through drifting away or through sin in your life or whatever. I mean, it just the enemy starts coming in all around the place, doesn't it? I mean, not only from the north, but from the south and from the east and from the west. So he says, O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. Not up against the border, but they've come into. How about our open borders in this country? Wow-wee, I was hearing this guy Horowitz, I think it was, a few comments on Dennis Prager yesterday morning, and he's getting old, you can hardly hear him, but he's kind of a prophet kind of a guy. He's got a, just wrote his latest book, and he says this, the last election. We've had the, we're having the last election, and he, the front of the book is, the picture is a flag with no stars and with a hammer and a sickle there, and talking about how high the percentage is in prison of illegals. And now that was back when the statistics we have is when the immigration into this country was not even a third of what it is today with illegals. And so it's going to just, the pollution coming in, if it goes long enough, will destroy the country, right? Just think of the thousands of drug cartels and all of that instances here, and human trafficking and all of that, that and all of these people coming into the nation here that are just fixed on destruction and all. So that's where we are when we turn our back on God, isn't it? So the holy temple have defiled. They've even come in and defiled the temple. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps, total destruction. The dead bodies of your servants, they have given as food for the birds of the heaven, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth, meaning there's so many people dead that there's not enough people to bury them, so they're just left out in the open. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem. Josephus said in one of his writings that there were times during the destruction that the blood ran so deep it was running into the houses in the low areas and putting out the fires in the fireplace. So whether that's true or not, I don't know. That's what he said. But their blood they've shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors. In those days, the winning country would always credit it to their god. Marduk was one of the gods, main gods in those days, that they would kind of pass that around, because when they would defeat Marduk, then they would keep Marduk, because Marduk was the most, one of the most powerful gods. Of course, I always wondered if they just defeated this country, why in the world would they want their god, right? But this is a reproach, because the countries would say to Israel, as you have people saying to you at times, I believe, where is your god? Where is your god now? You keep telling me how God takes care of you and all this, and here you are in such a mess. Where is your God now? So we have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those who are around us. Now, the next few verses here, 5 to 10, or 5 to 12, we have the prayer. Verse 5, how long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake, for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which has been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you, according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die, and return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, which they have reproached you, Lord. So the imprecatory aspect of this psalm, there's some good things in it. It's really directed against the evil to the Lord, the evil to his people, really. And so I think that's a good prayer to come against people who are coming against the Lord, whereas coming against people because they come against you personally is not really what Jesus has taught us, I believe. But here we have, how long, Lord? When's the last time you heard a believer say, oh, I just can't wait to get out of here. I just, come tomorrow. Well, I think that's good in one way, and in another way, I don't like it. Because the reason I don't like it, it's all in the Lord's timing, and he's going to come exactly right on time. And every day he delays is another day for us to, as he's got us here, for us to be a witness and for people to come to the Lord, right? So if we have, let's say we have around the world, maybe we have 50,000 come to the Lord today. That's a good thing, isn't it? I think it's a good thing. But anyway, how long, Lord? And at times when we're down, I know when I was in the middle of COVID, I was thinking how long, because, you know, I kept thinking, well, day after tomorrow, I'll be, you know, ready to go. Day after tomorrow came, you were ready to go. But how long? So we all have that in us, I think, at times of just saying, Lord, how long? And will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. He will, won't he? He will. Maybe not at our timing, but there will not be one sin that won't be taken care of by him. Not one nation, not one quiet thing they're doing that's against him will be overlooked. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. You know, there's a lot of scripture that tells us how God judged Babylon and judged Assyria. Not he used them, but they overstepped the boundary. Rather than going to just bring the judgment on a limited basis, what he had for them to do, they went like in a savage way and just inflicted all kinds of savagery on Israel. And so then promises they would be taken care of. And so that's some of this, it seems to me. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. And I think the way that's constructed there, it really means and against the iniquities of our fathers that preceded us. But just you and I, we know, you know, if you mark iniquity, Lord, who could stand, right? Do not remember former iniquities against us. Good prayer. Lord, let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us. And boy, have they, haven't they? And we so need that. For we have been brought very low. There are times in our life when we really are low, and how we could pray for, oh, Lord, speedily bring us your tender mercies. And then verse 9, as we sang here, help us, O God, of our salvation. For the glory of your name, good. And deliver us and provide atonement for our sins. Wow! Think the difference between a New Testament saint praying and the Old Testament saint praying. He has done that. Jesus has come. He has gone to the cross. He's paid the price. Sins have been atoned. Old Testament, they were looking forward to it, but it hadn't happened yet. And so such a great prayer, deliver us, provide atonement for our sins. We don't have to pray that prayer. It's already done. We can thank him for it, but not say do it, because it's already done, to me anyway. Deliver us and provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. Yes, absolutely. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood, your servant, which has been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. So that's almost like us praying for the persecuted church, seems to me. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are appointed to die. Amen. And return to our neighbors sevenfold in their bosom their reproach, which they have reproached you. You know, I was looking up sevenfold. It's only used five times in the scriptures, and two of them are where it begins in Genesis against Cain when he killed Abel. And Cain went to the Lord and said, oh, now I'm scared. They're going to get me. And what did the Lord say? With as bad as he's this murderer, and he says, if anybody comes against you, Cain, I'll protect you. I'll mark you. Where you marked, I don't know what it was. And anybody that comes against you, I will exert seven times the penalty on them. So here this is sevenfold again, which just means to me, return to our neighbors many times what they have done to you, Lord. And again, be careful how you pray for that, because... But it says, their reproach with which they have reproached you. It doesn't say with which they reproach me. So we should be indignant on those who come against the Lord, shouldn't we? I think so. Return to your neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach which they have reproached you, O Lord. And then finally, one verse here. This is a verse wrapping it all up. So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Isn't that great? So, I put down, am I, do we? Am I, how thankful am I? How am I showing forth his praise to all generations? You who are in children's ministry, you sure got the one end of it nailed down, but there's a whole lot more out there than children under teenage years that need to be praising the Lord, and we need to show them our praise too, right? And so all generations, and that covers all. So isn't that good though? So may we praise him. May we thank him. And as even in the midst of our enemies, as we look around and we say, oh, things are so bad. We're in the end times. Things are so bad. Well, they are and they aren't. For the believer, they're so good, aren't they? Can anything destroy what the Lord has done for you? Can anything separate you from the Lord? No. Satan's been defeated on the cross. He can come against us and we're still in these mortal bodies which have a tendency to sin. So we're not glorified yet. We're not in heaven yet. We know that. But still, we really have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Well, let's pray this morning as you're led to pray, and pray for healing for those who aren't here. Some are sick. At least I know Linda is sick, I hear, and maybe others as well. And flu season and so forth. And yet we've got a faithful remnant here. May we pray. Father, just a reminder of this prayer again. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us. Not just mercy, but tender mercies. And not just to come to us, but to come speedily to meet us. For we have been brought very low. Help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of your name. Amazing there, Lord. We look at salvation as just, at least I do, very selfishly in a way. It's that salvation is for me. It is the forgiving of my sin. It is the imputing your righteousness in me. It is not remembering my sin anymore. It's wiped away. The record is clean. But here it says, help us, O God, for the glory of your name. Help us of our salvation for the glory of your name. Is your name glorified in my salvation? Is your name glorified in me? How is it glorified in me? And then deliver us and provide atonement for our sins. Lord, you have done that. The cross, the cross, the cross. For your name's sake, again, for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which has been shed. Oh, the blood of the martyrs, Lord, has so been used for the proclamation of the gospel in such a powerful way of demonstration. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. And Lord, we know that there are those today who are being tortured. Not necessarily put to death instantly and it's over, but tortured. On and on and on. And so, Lord, the groaning of the tortured prisoner as it comes before you. Preserve those who are appointed to die. And remember Samuel Lamb saying, don't pray for the end of persecution, but pray for the strength to see God's glory brought through my persecution. And so, Lord, those who are in that situation, we want to pray for it to end, but I don't know if that's the right prayer, but we just pray that your will be done and that love that they show in the sight and the face of the worst persecution another person can dish out was what propelled the greatest growth of the church ever, and that's been in China through the 70s, 60s, and 70s, part of the 50s. No missionaries left in there anymore at that time, but the seeds had been planted, and it was the love shown by those being persecuted that caused that great growth. And so we know your ways are not understandable, but let the groaning of the prisoner come before you according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die and return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. And so we, your people. Are we your people? And sheep. Are we your sheep? So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. Wow. We say that so easily and so willingly, and yet do we do it? Will I be doing that throughout this day? Having a continuing thankful heart. Will you give thanks forever? Will I give thanks forever? We say we will, and then we will show forth your praise to all generations. Will we? Do we? Have we? And I have to say no, not all the time anyway, but we will show forth your praise to all generations. So Lord, as we pray that prayer, we know we can do nothing apart from you, but may we be willing to be used by you, Lord. Willing to give you thanks, willing to show forth your praise, willing to be that witness to all generations. Help us, Lord. So as we close now with this old song, 1,000 years old, Saint Francis of Assisi, and the story about him at a very young age, he was born into a wealthy family, and he gave it all up and said, I just want to serve Jesus. And he wrote 80-some hymns, but this is the one that is most famous of St. Francis, I believe, and it's All Creatures of Our God and King. And so it's powerful, powerful. We've sung it before. Let's just sing it again.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and let us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him.
Father, may we praise you. May that song be on our hearts this whole day. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise him, praise him. May we worship you in humbleness as we read here. Oh, praise him. Father, thank you for meeting us always, always, always. And as we go here as a little army, may we be holding that banner high with our lives as being a living sacrifice for you, set apart for what you have for us today and the little things that you will allow us to do for your glory. May we do them, Lord. Yeah. Bless each one because they came. And again, we pray for those who weren't able to be here, that you would bless those as well as they cry out to you too. We thank you for your faithfulness always and for your living word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.